So hello, everybody, and welcome to actually our very last Your Seed Gold Plus call for, isn't this the last one? Or is there one more after this? I think it's the last one.
Yeah, there's another one scheduled. Yeah.
Oh, okay, there's another one, probably a daytime one. Okay, good. I'm glad it's not the last one. Phew, yeah. Now I can stop being so emotional. Good. All right, so our second to the last one, and this is our first one in August, I guess. I was thinking that we had one last week, but that was a different, yeah. So I'm here to support you in whatever way you need or want. I'm also loving to hear celebrations because celebrations help uplift all of us, whether it's a tiny celebration amidst a lot of chaos and struggling, but the celebrations just help you to stay in tune with your greater self, your higher self, your ability, and your inner healer, right? Your inner healer likes to hear about celebrations. Your subconscious likes to hear about celebrations versus just the, what's wrong with me, right? It's like helping it to see that there's ways that we can support. So who would like, I see that Paula, you submitted a sheet. So I think you had, I don't remember what the question was. I'll pull it back up again. You had a question about, there's Paula. You had, what success would you like to share? Celebrating that I'm still virus free after so much travel to and from California over the last month. And you weren't seeing recordings for the July calls.
Right.
Do you know anything about that, Angelica? That they should be up by now.
Yeah, I didn't know about it until Paula said anything, but I'm looking into it right now. I can ask the person in charge.
Okay. Yeah. So is it that you're not seeing, because we've been playing around with the back end of the site to try to clean things up a lot. And hopefully I didn't make a big mess and take away some tags that you needed to see them. But you should be able to see them from your ERC 2019-20 tag, which is everybody has. So we'll look into that and find out what happened if they didn't post them versus they're posted, but there's something wrong with the tagging that's allowing you to see it. Do you see them on the page? Because you should.
I do not. I just see two.
All right. Then those have to be, that has to be checked. Yeah. With why they didn't get put up. Okay. Great.
Thank you.
Yeah. You're welcome. Anything else we can support you on?
Well, I don't know. I'm just dealing with losing my brother, you know, and you know what it's like to lose a sibling. So it's uncharted waters for me. But
Yeah, and hopefully for everybody that goes through it, it's uncharted because it's like having to go through it multiple times. Is you don't want practice. You're better off just being in uncharted, but there'll be good days and bad days. There'll be days where you're filled with love and appreciation for what he brought to your life. And then there's other days, sometimes you just don't even know, like it's this low energy, that's like draggy kind of energy that it's not like a thought, but it's just this, right? And then you give it some thought, you may realize it's, right? And it happens so quickly. I mean, which is good for him that he didn't suffer for a long time, but it's not good for you at all, right?
Well, it was sepsis that took him. It was not the cancer. It
wasn't the cancer.
So that added a layer of difficulty to the whole thing.
Right.
Because I believe without that infection, he would have had more time. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So there's part anger.
Absolutely. Yeah. And as I have told the story, as I have shared it with other people, including other people who are practitioners, they encourage me to try to get answers. So I will do that eventually. I can't right now. There are too many other more important things that I'm dealing with. I'm going to be the personal representative for the estate. So we're going through a lot of paperwork right now. But anyway, that's heavy on my heart. All of it is.
Reach out anytime. We're all here to support you whatever way we can, even if it's just to throw some hearts your way on Facebook, you know.
Thank you. Yeah,
because sometimes it's just knowing that there's people surrounding you that have you, and you know, we certainly can't get in and help you with this the hassles of dealing with an estate and all that kind of stuff. And the emotional part of it, right? My sister didn't die from a mistake, quote unquote, right? Or, you know, something that was done, not done properly, but she died from a system that's a mistake.
Yes.
Right. And then, you know, so that is something that it's heavy. It drives me and pushes me to find answers for people that are outside that box, because nobody tried to look at that. I mean, yeah. So.
Well, one of my other celebrations, though, is that a number of my brother's friends have friended me, you know, on Facebook and are keeping in touch with me privately.
Nice.
Supporting me. Yeah. So that has been hugely comforting for me.
I bet. Yeah. And they can fill some gaps that you didn't have, like in terms of his day to day and what things that you didn't have access to that you can add to your memory banks of good stuff. Yeah. Thank you for sharing. Diana, you were the other one that submitted a form in. Hi.
Hi.
How are you feeling?
My hospice nurse just left, so. Ugh. Sorry, I'm late. Yeah. I'm sorry, I missed what you said, Paula, but you're good in my prayers all along.
Thank you, Diana. You're in mine, too.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah, you said you had a rough time over the weekend. Do you want to talk about it?
Just a little bit. I've talked to the hospice nurse now, and I've talked to them over the weekend while it was kind of in progress. But Thursday, she checks me on Thursdays, and we had a good checkup last week, and everything was fine. And then Thursday night, I went to bed. I woke up about 12:30 in the morning, and I had severe chest pains, and it was the kind of chest pains I usually get with angina. So I just grabbed the nitroglycerin and, you know, started doing the thing I usually do when I get chest pains, but it didn't work at all. It didn't work at all. And I get up to the third dose and I'm going, okay, well, what's my next go-to in case it doesn't work? And so I went and grabbed my cayenne tincture and magnesium for the chest and rubbed the magnesium oil on it. Anyway, I carried on from there, and it never really got better from anything that I did. I started to black out several times, and I thought I was going to die. I thought I was going home. For some reason, I know I'm not supposed to call 911 anymore. They've made it very clear that I'm no longer in the system. If anything goes wrong, I'm supposed to call them. I've never had to call them before, but at that particular moment, I didn't really want to call them. They're in Salmon, which is 60 miles away, and it would be over an hour before they'd be able to get here.
Right.
So, It was kind of a moot point, but I literally thought, I said a couple of times, I told God, I said, well, I knew I was probably going to be coming home, but I wasn't expecting this was going to be when it was going to happen or how it was going to happen. I was expecting just a little more time, but I thought, oh, that's your sense of humor. It's okay, God, you can take me whenever you want. No problem. And I did take a dose of the comfort medicine they gave me, which is hydrocodone. They had given me morphine, but I found that way too potent. Mm-hmm. And but I did have some of that, and I had thought about maybe getting that, but things finally settled down and subsided a little bit. And then I was just so tired, I wanted to just go to sleep. And so I did. It was about an hour total time, maybe a little bit over an hour. And then when I got up in the morning, I kind of had residual, I just didn't really feel well. Mm-hmm. Got up and kind of took it easy during the day, decided I'd just rest and relax and take some naps and, you know, not stress myself too much. It was a little chilly in the morning, so I went and sat outside in the front porch. As I looked down at my legs, my skin was all mottled colored. I had never seen anything like it. It was like purples and reds and yellows and pinks, and I've never seen anything like it. And I got to look in there. I actually had Dennis go get the camera so I could take pictures. Pictures didn't come out worth a darn, but I thought, you know, this isn't right. This isn't normal. I wonder if this is some new symptom that I, you know, am, you know, going to be seeing more of lately, you know, as it's progressed or whatever. So I just made kind of a mental note. I thought, you know, I really should probably call hospice and find out what I should have done last night because I don't really understand the procedures yet. And well, that kind of went on for a little while, and I had lunch, and then I laid down and took a nap, and I thought I'll call him after my nap. And I get up from my nap, and I was, you know, doing a lot of coughing, moving mucus out. And so I coughed, and I was moving some mucus, and I saw some streaks of blood. I thought, oh, well, I definitely have got to do something today. So I finally worked up the courage to call him about 7 o'clock Friday evening and told him all the things that had been happening. And they said, well, you should have called. That's number one. And we probably would have sent somebody out, and we would have had to take a dose of that morphine for sure. So, you know, get that handy or whatever. So be prepared to do that. But she says, no, you should definitely call. If you have anything at all go wrong, definitely call us, and that's what we're here for. And so I said, well, you know, if something like this happens again, I will definitely call you. And it's nice to know at least there is a human on the other end of this phone number they gave me. Right. It's not 911. It's like a 9-digit number.
Is it a 24/7 call? They're available
24/7. Yeah. There's always somebody on the switchboard, and then they transfer you to whoever's the on-call nurse.
Right.
And so if they need to send somebody out, then they send. But
right. And if they don't, if they don't have to send somebody out, it gives you somebody to talk to that may be giving you some things that you're not going to know to do. Have right. the foresight to do in that situation. Yep. So yeah.
So it was kind of a good exercise for that purpose, for learning this is what I'm supposed to do from now on, because I'm no longer in the regular system. Everything is through hospice now.
Okay.
So that was interesting. Then so I thought we were good. Woke up on Saturday morning and it started to progress even worse. I started coughing up your blood. So for 2 hours on Saturday morning, I was coughing up blood. Very bright orange, red blood. And that wasn't fun.
No.
It wasn't fun.
No.
And I thought, well, this is different. Well, okay. So what was interesting is the night before when I was talking to the hospice nurse, she says, what you may have had may have nothing to do with angina. It may have been something totally unrelated. It may be related to the lung thing.
Right.
So when I started to bleed out of the coughing up this blood, I was like, well, apparently maybe she was right. I wonder what it might have been, but apparently I had some irritation going on. But I only watched that for about 2 hours, and I had the phone in my hand. I was getting ready to call, and it finally subsided. Meanwhile, of course, I was in a lot of agony, so I was taking quite a bit of the hydrocodone to keep myself at a comfort level that I could handle. And I did eventually call them. Things did calm down by Sunday morning, and it all cleared out. I only had about 4 episodes where I was actually coughing up the blood, and that over that 2 hours, and then after that, it was just little streaks of blood again. It was a very rough weekend for me.
I bet.
And I did learn a lot of good lessons. There's a lot of processes going on.
Right.
Lots of processes going on, and there is help for me, and there's people that care, and they will send somebody out. When the nurse was here just a few minutes ago, she said there is somebody that lives in town right here, and in the case that it was in a critical emergency, they would have contacted her, and she would have been here in 5 minutes.
Well, that's good to know.
So that's good to know. That's I did not know that know, from the people right? I talked to last weekend. So.
Right. That's good to know. What right, about so the legs, the modeling on the legs? Did you ask her that?
She said at this particular time, because I'm still upright and mobile and moving, she's not concerned about it. She said if you were bedridden and not getting up around and moving around, then I would be concerned. She says, but for now, don't worry about it.
So it's still there. It's in go away.
Oh, yeah. It fades away a little bit, and then it comes back again. And so it's definitely not at the surface. It's very deep. It's definitely like a deep bruise almost.
Yeah.
In the areas where it's darker. Now the other things that are kind of interesting, and the one thing that I did send you was the report from the blood biopsy.
Yeah, from the blood biopsy.
And it's very bizarre. This was one I don't know that you're gonna be able to help. I was expecting it to be a whole lot more help than what we're getting.
We're getting out of my home of expertise here, but We'll
no,
see.
It's not. And it's not ours either. I mean, it's not mine. But we expected there to be some kind of a list of the chemotherapy drugs that this particular tumor would be acceptable to. Or like an antibiotic, you know, which one is it going to be resistant to? Which is your better bet for trying? There are absolutely no chemo drugs whatsoever listed for this mess.
Where did you put the, did you put it on your folder?
It's in both my Google Drive and I attached it to the RSV.
I didn't see it attached, but labs, under labs, is that where it would be?
Yeah, it's under labs and then it's under the May 2020 forward.
May 2020, okay, got it. So Guardian final additional.
Guardian gets the Guardian 360, yeah, final edition.
Okay. Let's see what it has to say. I can put it on the screen, but I don't think anybody else will understand it either. So it basically says, it's showing you genetic alterations.
Yep, they're all genetic alterations. That's what it looked for. It looked for the genetic SNPs that have been altered.
Yeah.
And then they use those genetic SNPs to compare to drugs.
Well, so yeah, then it has these drugs. So.
But the drugs they've listed, none of them are FDA approved for the condition.
So you can't, okay, so that's fine. But what your purpose for doing this was not to find a drug that you could use, but was to see what the mechanism of action would be.
What the tumor was. I wanted to know the origin.
Right. But if you look at this, right, so if you look up these drugs.
I did.
Do they have a mechanism of action?
Well, I'm still looking up the ones in that very first SNP, but all three of those, when I looked up the SNPs themselves, the genes, all three of them are tumor suppressor genes. So what's gone wrong is... Yes.
Tumor suppressor genes got turned off.
Right.
Yeah.
But that apparently, you know, as I've been trying to figure this all out, what is coming to me is that there are no chemo drugs to target that particular problem. They would be specifically for the tumor. But the deal is that up until apparently at least one of those three had not flipped, my body was keeping whatever this tumor was under control for a while. Mm-hmm. Until something flipped. And that's what happened, I think, between February and May.
Mm-hmm.
Something went haywire with that infection that I had. And that was what came along and changed the whole scenario.
One's the COX-2 inhibitor.
I know. I saw that. That's Kirk Human. I'm like, oh, I know that one.
Think that's the best thing to do with this. I mean,
that's exactly what I was doing.
Look at these. That was
the TP53 one doesn't have anything at all recommended. So there's nothing recommended for that one. There's no trials or anything. You got to go down further in the document. But that ARID1, which is the first one that's listed, that one is actually that particular genetics shows up in about 10 different cancers. Most of them are colorectal type. The second one, the COX-2 inhibitor, shows up in the endometrial cancers. And so I'm having a hell of a time trying to figure it out. It's definitely in the lung. The diagnostic code that Dr. Schull put on it for, you know, ordering the test was non-small cell adenocarcinoma.
Mm-hmm.
But that's his guess in the dark. So that was just what he put on there to order the test.
Right.
But yeah, we don't really know. We still don't really know what the tumor is.
Right.
So
information that you can use.
That's exactly what I'm doing. Is I'm digging and digging until I figure out there is clues in there. It's just not quite as simple as what we were hoping for.
Yeah. So drugs.com has a lot of them. So you go to drugs.com, you put in the name and you look up the indications, but that doesn't mean anything. You really want to look up the mechanism of action.
That's exactly right. And like I said, that second one being the COX-2 inhibitor, I was just like, oh yes. I don't even need to look that one up. I know what that is.
Yeah. Exactly. Mihaela said she was going to be on this call. And if she is, if you're okay with sharing that information with her. She's a pharmacist. So she might know some of that and have some ideas on, you know, some other, some alternatives.
Where I can look for more information on those. That'd be great. Okay. Besides drugs.com.
Besides drugs.com. You know, she's got 20 years experience doing this. So, you know.
Yeah. Awesome. Yeah. Okay. So anyway, that's the good news and the bad news. The good news is I'm definitely getting everything on board. My appetite was coming back. I mean, it actually is coming back now. Good. So I'm eating more. I'm not gaining the weight yet, but my stomach is now expanding. So I'm hungry all the damn time. Oh. Which I have completely lost my appetite. Now I'm hungry.
That's a good sign, actually. That's a good sign, because in progressing cancer, it's usually cachexia in, and it goes the other way.
Yep, exactly.
So that's a good sign. Honor it. Blend everything that you can. I mean, even throw like hamburgers in the blender. I don't, you know what I mean? It's like not things that you normally wouldn't think about blending in the blender, so that it's easy. So it's easy for your digestive tract to handle and gives you the nutrients you need.
Yeah, and I did get my first batch of juice made by my friend that's got the Norwalk juicer.
Nice.
So I have a 2-week supply of fresh juice in the freezer, and I'm taking out a quart a day, and that's going to be my juice now.
That's
and I'm
awesome.
Adding all my liquid supplements are getting added to that, and then I'm doing step parts of that all day long. And that way I can also get in the higher quality of the proteins and the fats without filling up. So I'll have room for that. Yeah. I am slowly increasing the enzymes. I've increased the B17. I've got my GC math now. A refill came in finally. So we're not allowing it to hide, so the immune system can go after it. So there is a lot of good things going on. And yeah, I just thought of all the funny things. Yeah, you know, some man plans, God laughs, and you know, I just going, look at this, not a dang chemo drug listed. And then I started realizing, no, that's good. We don't want anything.
Right. We're looking for mechanisms.
It makes the search harder. What the heck is this original?
It makes it hard, but if you look them up, just go to drugs.com. You should be able to find them all. I just did two of them, and I just did a Google search on them and came up with it. But mechanism of action is what you want to look at. COX-2, right. Obviously know what that mechanism of action is, but on the others, look for what's the mechanism of action.
Yep.
Right? And then that's going to help you to find something in your repertoire.
Yes.
That can do that similar mechanism of action.
Right. Okay. So things are working, and I really appreciate everything that you've done. And if you do happen to, if Mahala does come on the call, if we can get maybe another bit of information out of her on mechanism of action, if we can get that, or if I can get you that by the next call, maybe you could throw in some suggestions on substances to get that in me in another way.
Absolutely. Make a chart. Just put the name of the drug, the mechanism of action, put in what conditions it's usually used for, because that helps too. Sometimes the mechanism of action is really complicated and it has scientific pathways. Put that in there. Whatever you put in.
So we're looking for pathways too. Okay.
Because pathways, like if we know that a certain pathway is activated by this and this drug is going to be helpful for this, then what nutrients can we use? What herbs can we use? What things can we use? And what things might interfere with those pathways that we would want to eliminate and make sure is working.
I have been collecting some documents in a document form, and some links to stuff that seemed very interesting that had a lot of stuff like that, especially pathways and SNPs and things that are related that are hooked up with.
Great.
So it's not just the SNP itself. It's, you know, it's what the pathway is and how it works and what it triggers. And so, yeah, I have seen some of that. So I will definitely go on collecting that.
Okay.
Fantastic.
Awesome. Thank you.
Awesome.
Who else? Questions, comments, desires? Jay.
Okay. So a couple of things have happened in the last month or so. I'll start feeling tired, and then I'll start getting chilled, and then I can kind of feel it. I'll go lie down in the bed and I start to shiver. I cover up. I have no other symptoms, no coughing,
no fever, no
worry, nothing. And then, you know, one event was, it happened for a couple hours, and basically I just slept through, you know, ended up just sleeping through because I couldn't hold a book or anything to read. So I just slept. And then the next day I got up and I was a little bit slow, but I was okay. I didn't have the chills anymore. I had a low temperature. This last time that it happened, I didn't measure it because I just really wasn't able to.
Okay.
And
so like when you say low, you mean like
this last time was really pretty light. It was like Sunday night, you know, and I could see, I was sitting there on the couch and I could kind of feel it coming on. I was going to get something to eat, and then I thought, you know, I'm just going to go lie down. And then I started shivering with chills, and I just ended up going to sleep. I was okay the next day.
Is it happening at the same similar time during the day? Could it be morning, night, or always in the evening, late afternoon?
No, it was at different times.
Different times.
Maybe between you and the two lens on, maybe you guys could suggest something. I don't think it's COVID.
So no symptoms, no coughing, no sneezing, no fever, opposite actually, temperature, racing heart. Have you checked your blood pressure?
Blood pressure is fine.
It's not too low?
Yeah, it might be a little low on the low end.
You know, because that's the thing to check. If your blood pressure is going down too much, if you're still on any meds, you got to adapt those meds to that. Because if it goes too low, you can...
I stopped taking my blood pressure med because it was going too low. Okay. So I'm just on a super diuretic called Diamax. And I think since I've been on that, my blood pressure's pretty normal all the time.
Okay.
You know, it can go down to 105 over 65.
But it doesn't go lower than that?
That's kind of on the low end, you know.
Okay.
Typically, it's more like 115.
Okay. Any change in pulse when this is happening? Have you checked your pulse to see if it's super low?
No, I pretty much crash immediately when it starts.
So it happens in your crash?
I can't hold anything. I can't do anything. I can barely make it to my bed.
So it's just like a full body exhaustion.
Yeah. But it's quick. And then I'm over it.
And then you're over it in a couple of hours.
Yeah, or overnight anyway.
Mm-hmm. Are you on any hormone replacement?
Not anymore.
Okay, so you stopped that. Oof. I don't know. Anybody have any thoughts? Lynn Rose? Lynn?
Have you been outside? Because I know it's hot out. So I was just curious if there was
no.
Any. Okay.
I don't go outside much.
I was on a phone call when he first started talking, so I don't know what all he was talking about. But have you had blood work done? Did any of it reflect anemia issues?
No, I haven't had any blood work done in a while.
Okay, because... that would certainly affect your fatigue and some of the other vital signs.
So what were you saying, anemia?
Mm-hmm. Your iron, yeah. Your ferritin and all those.
Right. Yeah, my iron. In fact, I used to have too much iron, so.
Well, did you
say? Unless I had blood work done, which is probably 9 months ago, you know, that was normal.
Okay.
Yeah, but this wasn't happening 9 months ago. So that's
saying,
right.
And you don't have any kind of ulcers or anything that would be causing bleeding?
Yeah.
Anything like that?
So I would say getting a full blood chem with the CBC, with ferritin, iron, and, you know, CBC numbers to see what's
in
electrolytes. I mean, there could be a major electrolyte imbalance that just causes, like, you know, potassium real low, sodium real low, magnesium real low.
Well, that could be it, you know, that with the diuretic.
Yeah, and taking that's what I was.
Right, the diuretic.
You're taking a supplemental magnesium-potassium complex.
What time of day do you take the diuretic?
Take it in the morning. Okay. For my eye.
I would get all that tested. So a full blood screen with the ferritin, with the CBC, and with make sure the electrolytes, of course, are tested there. Those are the things that I would be suspicious about.
Yeah. Well, I'm overdue to go to the doctor's office, but I'm putting it off because of this COVID stuff. I just didn't want to.
Well, you know, you can do it.
Compelling reason.
Yeah. You can do, Quest is doing them in a totally separate testing sites too. So you don't have to go into anybody's office.
I'm not sure I want to go into a Quest either.
Well, yeah, but.
It might be worse than the doctor's office.
Yeah. No, maybe not. I mean, they're not doing any COVID testing there. So that you're not going to be going there with people who have symptoms.
One here in my location, though, is a really big one. So they may have 30 people packed in a room at a time. I don't know what they're doing during COVID, but.
You could go to maybe an outlying city or something that has a lower population. The one I go to, there's never a line.
Yeah, no, I got you. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you're in Kingwood, right? You're not in Houston proper, aren't you?
In Kingwood.
Yeah.
Okay, well, that's fine.
Okay. Thank you, Jay. Who else has questions, comments? Needs, celebrations.
Well, I have a story to share.
Okay.
So last week I was supposed to get my tooth extracted, and I had a cold. So I called the dentist's office and say, well, you know, maybe I need to reschedule this appointment because I'm not feeling that great. And it's now towards the end of the month. But, you know, that makes me think, you know, because they were like, oh, you know, kind of freaking out that they gave me the appointment so far out. So I decided to call the nurse in the clinic, and she suggested that I get tested. So in my city, they have a drive-through.
Drive-through, stick a Q-tip up your nose, and
that's right. You lower the window of your car.
And then you're so dazed and confused, you have to drive away.
Yeah. So it was great. It was negative. So, but it was an interesting experience. The way the sensation stayed for a while. You know, it was kind of yucky. And then they called me to see if I got it in the next day. They called me to see if I read the test and I was okay. So pretty amazing.
Wait. They called you and said, did you read the test?
Well, because they sent me an email if I received the.
Oh, if you received it. So they sent you the results right away. Wow.
Yeah.
It was negative, right, I assume, right?
Yeah, negative, yeah.
Oh, good.
So my
They sent you an email?
They said, yeah, you give your email and they sent you by email.
That's amazing
service, and it was free, you know.
It's against HIPAA rules, so I'm surprised they do that. Probably I
agreed to something when I set up the appointment.
Okay.
I might have signed something.
Seems like they should have set up a portal for people to go to get
a portal. Them. Yeah, that makes more sense. Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah, totally.
Yeah. Well, it worked out. So today my husband asked me, he was talking about the news, whatever. And he asked me if I was going to get a flu vaccine this winter. And I said, I never got a
vaccine in my life,
ever. And so he got really upset. He goes, you get the vaccine, you don't get COVID, or you have less chances or whatever.
No, you actually have a higher risk. They're finding that the people who had flu vaccines are at higher risk for getting COVID.
Okay, is there, I can find an article on that
somewhere? You might be able to just do a Google search and see. I mean, I've seen lots of them. I've seen lots of that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, I have to give him proof. Okay. All right.
Flu vaccines don't work very well because there's so many strains of a flu that by the time
that's what I was saying, you know.
And you know, here's the thing with a flu, like chickenpox, you get it once, you develop antibodies, you don't get it again. It's just natural immunity. And so a vaccine in theory works for that. But you take something like a cold or a flu where you get a cold, you get it again, you get it again, you get a flu, you get it again and again. There's no vaccine for that kind of stuff. It's just, it's a hoax, really. I mean, in my opinion, I mean, there is theoretical, I know you're shaking your head, Lynn Rose. I wouldn't get any vaccine for measles or chickenpox or any of that stuff. I just was lucky enough to have them when I was a kid. When my kids were young, I didn't do vaccinations. I sent them to play with the vaccinated kids who got the chickenpox, right? And they got it. They had a bad case, they were sick for a week, both of them same time, and it's done, right? We don't have the risk of them getting shingles. We don't have the risk of them getting that when they're adults. But, you know, in theory that works, but in reality, when a person gets the disease, they do usually develop a lifetime immunity, but the vaccine, not necessarily. Like, because my kids got chickenpox from the neighbor kids who were vaccinated. Like, how did that work? Right? So there's, you know, there's a lot of stuff, and I'm not, you know, I'm not going public on my views on vaccines. I keep it to myself privately because I don't want to get shot in the head. But, you know, there's a lot of misinformation. You know, when you're back in the day where sanitation sucked and smallpox was rampant, it did save some people. But if you look at the trends of what was happening, it was really the sanitation that mostly saved people. Because if you look at how the trends were, and then it went down, and then the vaccine came in out here, right? But those charts are actually on, I think it was the CDC or NIH, I can't remember which one, on their website. You can actually go and see those charts.
Actually a spike after they started vaccinating too.
And then you see a spike again, because then there's the what do they call that, it's the flake off. There's a name for it. I forget the name of it, but shedding, right? It sheds. It sheds and people get it, right? And that's why they say keep pregnant women away from newly vaccinated kids, because they get the German measles while they're pregnant. You know, they risk their own health and the baby's health. So there's a lot of that. And mumps, give it to a little kid, but don't let an adult get it. The testicle, it affects the testicles and they can become sterile. So
we're always taught never to give a vaccine during pregnancy, but nowadays they give the TD, they give the TDAP, they give a flu shot. And I've had parents that are moms that have had MMRs during pregnancy too, which is totally against the rules, but they do that now.
So it's you know, it's just this thing, and they've done a great job of brainwashing folks. So people like Sandra's husband, and sometimes I'm even dealing with my husband, I have to prove, like, he didn't never argued with me. I knew I'd divorce him and, you know, take the kids with me. If he wanted to vaccinate them, I would say bye. I'm not doing that to my kids. But he argues the fact, like, when I say, oh yeah, the COVID vaccine is going to save the world, right? And he'll go, well, you know, some people, I'm like, it's this.
It'll save the world from people.
Yeah. So I would strongly recommend against it. Guillain-Barré is a very common side effect of flu vaccines. And Guillain-Barré is a horrible disease, paralyzing the lungs. So you don't want to risk that. Measles has, I think measles is Guillain-Barré. Maybe it's something else with the flu vaccine, but there's all kinds of side effects, right? And that the one that they are giving, HPV one that they're giving teenage girls and even teenage boys, right? It's making them sterile. And a lot of them are having serious side effects and some of them are dying. Like, let my kid take the chance of getting HPV. Its fatality rate is extremely low, but the rate of the vaccine is actually higher. The death rate with the vaccine is actually a lot higher than the death rate from the disease. And that's all the numbers that they manipulate, but they don't share with the public. So I think it's really important for you to do your research. It's there, but no flu vaccines. It's crazy. They're 30% effective, if you call it that, at best. So, yeah, it's my personal opinion. just my personal opinion. This is not medical advice. This is just my personal opinion. And I have very strong opinions about it. And I feel comfortable sharing it in this group. I don't share it on Facebook or anything like that because I don't want to get shot.
Not to go off on a tangent, but I guess I will for a second. Yeah. I'm concerned about whatever so-called vaccine they think they come up with that they think will protect people from COVID, to the extent that if you don't take it, you know, they may not make it mandatory, but they won't let you fly unless you show your vaccination card or chip or whatever. They may take it down to where you can't go in a grocery store, you can't go in a stadium, you know,
that's horrible.
I'm worried about that.
That's a big concern. It's a big concern. And that's where we all need to band together and say, no way, we can't do it. And they have to prove that it's safe. I mean, they're trying to fast path it through, but you know, the burden of proof.
If it's so safe, then why do the manufacturers need a protection against liability?
Exactly. Like, you know, take away that protection and then I'll feel that maybe they'll make a safer vaccine, but they have no incentive to make a safe vaccine. There's no skin on the line. All they have is the possibility of making money, but they don't have to be responsible if they make a mistake and it's bad. You know, and then people have to go to court and fight for 3 years to hopefully get some of the federal money towards injury. And it's sad.
Didn't they used to use like thimerosal as a carrier in these vaccines?
Yeah, but now they use aluminum. They took out the mercury and put in aluminum. Like, seriously? I know. It's insane. It's insane. And I mean, you're an attorney. Where do you think people's rights come in order to say, no, I don't, I, this is wrong. This is taking away our freedoms as people.
No, it does. You're right.
It's not even just the heavy metals. I mean, there's all sorts of other preservatives, polysorbate 80 and formaldehyde, and then aborted fetal cells. And you know, that there's all sorts of other things. If you look at the whole list of things that are in those vaccines, and they still do have mercury in some of them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I while we're at it, I'll just throw out my little story too. I was destroyed by vaccines.
How do you mean?
I took the ones in the military. I managed to recover from those. And I swore I'd never take another vaccine as long as I live. When I went to work for the government, for the Corps of Engineers, they'd give us free flu shots every year. I said, no, I won't take one. I got sick from every one I've ever had. And my boss said, well, if you don't take it, I'm not going to approve sick leave for you. And I said, you can't do that. He says, oh, yes, I can. I said, well, I'm not taking your flu shot. Well, he intimidated me in doing it. I never should have done it. But I took the flu shot. That's what destroyed my health. What I found out after many, many, many years, this was in 1988, I lost my health. I ended up on a disability retirement in 1992.
Wow.
It took my health away. It destroyed me. Destroyed my immune system.
Yeah.
They call it chronic fatigue syndrome at the time, chronic Epstein-Barr.
Yep.
And that's what I was looking at, was spending the rest of my life. That supposedly this wouldn't kill me, but something else would come along that would, because my immune system no longer functioned right. And that's what I tried to recover from. I'm still here.
And you're still here.
But somewhere along the way, there was a wonderful woman who was doing a lot of research for the National Institute of Health. Her name is Dr. Judy Mikovits. Mm. She found out what it was. It is an ingredient in all flu vaccines. It's called the baculovirus. That JAK2 gene that I had, the SNPs from, that we found in that one genetic report, comes from the baculovirus.
Mm.
So I couldn't figure out what the baculovirus is. Well, it turns out it's an ingredient in the flu shot. So I was right. It was that flu shot that ended my health. But Dr. Judy Mikovits exposed the whole thing. The blood supply and the vaccine supply was contaminated many, many years ago. They had no way to filter it. And rather than tell anybody about it, they hid it. And so there's a whole lot of people that have been vaccinated since the mid-1980s. That's when they did away with the vaccine. Took away the liability. President Reagan was the one that released the pharmaceutical companies from all liability because they refused to make any more vaccines. Because they kept getting sued.
Right.
So they made that so that you couldn't sue the vaccine companies anymore. So they started manufacturing the vaccines like crazy and making tons of money off them.
Mm-hmm.
But that's when things got really bad. But the vaccine supply and the blood supply were both contaminated with this vaccine. What she found was called the XMRV. It's a murine. It's a mouse virus. It was in this cell sample that they were using the cell line. This baculovirus contained this mouse virus. It causes leukemia. That's what I've been fighting. I've been fighting that leukemia for the last 9 years. She found it.
It's really, it's a sad situation because they'll say, oh, it's not, it's just a small number of people that could get hurt. But they're thinking serious hurt, first of all, right? And they're not looking at, look at our population and how sick people are.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? Look at the population as a whole and right. How much of that comes from that. Yeah, it comes from a crappy food supply and toxins in the environment, and you accumulate all that. You add it onto somebody when you look at their genetics and look at the detox SNPs and go, you know, detox SNPs aren't so hot in this person. Right. And they could, you know, if they really wanted to make it safer, they could test kids genetically before giving them a vaccine and only give kids vaccines if they didn't have these particular SNPs. There's a lot of them have already been identified, yeah. Right? Because some of us, you know, I made it through, I don't know how, but who knows what kind of all kinds of little problems that I had were just the everyday stuff, you know, the stomach aches and the headaches and the tonsillitis and all that kind of stuff that could be associated, right? And I raised two kids who didn't get vaccinated. Well, they had, unfortunately, at birth, they got the hepatitis C vaccine. Like, really? My newborn child needs a hepatitis C vaccine. Really? Because I adopted them at birth and they got to them first. So those are the only vaccines that my kids had. So I know what it's like to raise kids without vaccines and how healthy they have been compared to their peers who were fully vaccinated. So, I mean, I know it's an N of two, so, but still, you know, I know lots of people like that. Lynn has kids like that. There's other people we know who have kids that have gone through that and not been vaccinated, and they are healthier.
They are healthier. And,
but absolutely. I'm not taking a chance on putting that kind of stuff into
those that have died. There's those kids that have been.
There's a lot of them who have become autistic.
Yeah.
Right?
And, you know, how much is okay?
None.
It's,
zero.
It's not. It's just none of it's
zero,
okay.
Right? If it's one child in 1,000, yeah. And that child is your child, it might as well have been 1,000 in 1,000.
Yeah,
right?
And now so, it's down to 1 in 50.
Yeah.
You know, and creeping towards 1 in 20, and it'll be 1 in 2 yeah. pretty soon. So yeah. what ended up happening with Dr. Judy Mikovits was she tried to go public with this information, and they absolutely destroyed her.
Yeah.
But the thing is that what they did was they shut her up. They threw her in jail, came up with a bunch of phony charges, charged her with this, that, and the other thing. They actually had no evidence of anything against her because she hadn't done anything wrong. But she exposed their little plot. And what ended up happening was they were developing a machine, a filter, so that they could filter the blood supply and the vaccine supply through this filter and actually filter out that XMRV that she had found and discovered.
Mm-hmm.
And so once they got that machine online and they were able to filter the supply, then they had a safe supply, and they made her a gag order that lasted like for another 3 years, I think, after the machine came out. So now they can say, oh, but it's perfectly safe. We have this wonderful machine. It's sold by this company, and everything's going through this filter, and we're filtering all that stuff out. So then now they're saying it's even safe for people with HIV to donate blood. Because they have this fancy machine that filters all the viruses out.
Let me tell you, I'm not getting blood from somebody who has HIV.
No,
I don't care
you.
How well they think they're filtering it. Don't come near me, right?
Exactly. I'm still there myself. No blood products in this body. Thank you very much.
No, that's crazy.
So anyway, that was how they kind of like shoveled it under the rug for a little while. But Dr. Judy's still out there trying to tell people, don't do this stuff.
Right.
Don't do this stuff. It's bad.
I know, you know, you sharing that really brings to light the whole thing where, oh yeah, it's safe. But how many people have been diagnosed with chronic fatigue and they don't get better? Multiple chemical sensitivities, right? All these sorts of things that are just like, oh, well,
autoimmune.
You know what it is? It's autoimmune.
Everything's autoimmune now.
Autoimmune.
That's exactly what it is. It's all autoimmune. It's because the body went haywire.
Yeah.
It just went wacko. And it's because of all this crap they're injecting into us, plus the crappy food and everything else.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and for some reason, you know, I have been blessed to have been able to find information and dig like you did for 30 years, mostly by myself, but until the last 2 years, by myself. And I have been able to mostly undo most of the damage, but not all of it. You know, the last 2 years, I mean, I've made such huge strides in this program. And yeah, that's what I cannot thank you enough, because you are in a position to do something I couldn't do. And I just thank you for everything you do.
Well, I think,
and you know, there, it is possible to heal yourself from a lot of this stuff, but it's better to just avoid in the first place.
Exactly.
We just need to educate people.
Exactly.
We really do.
Because you never know how far along the damage is until it's detected.
Right.
And, you know, certain things can be reversed if they're found early, but if you've got lungs damaged from 50 years of smoking, or,
right,
you know, you've got eyes damaged from 25 years of insulin, uncontrolled blood sugar, you know, or whatever, all of those things, it's hard to go in there. I mean, we need to
apply. It's hard to undo the damage. If you can avoid the damage in the first place, exactly. It's a lot easier.
Exactly.
Yeah. It is still doable, but it's just not as easy.
It's not as easy. And it's doable, and you're doing it. You're working on it. So
yeah,
I commend
yeah,
you.
Yeah, go for it, Jay. Don't give up. Keep working.
Yeah. But working. Do get, though, yeah, Jay, going back to Jay, do get that testing, because it could be as simple as an electrolyte imbalance.
Yeah. And best of luck to all of you guys in the future. Stick with Dr. Rita Marie. She knows her stuff. And if she doesn't, she'll find it.
Find it. That's the goal. You know, I don't know everything, and I don't ever pretend to know everything, but I'm, you know, I'm a curious person, and I want to find answers and find mechanisms of action. That's what my big thing is. What's the mechanism of action for this disease? What's the mechanism of action for this drug? What are the effects of this, and how can we take those things and then create a healing process ourselves? Yes. Right.
Fantastic.
Yeah. Thank you. Yeah.
I'll shut up now.
It's okay. Other questions? So, Sandra, did you get your tooth rescheduled? Are you gonna, and you're still working on all your good stuff with it?
Yeah. So this gives me more time.
Gives you more time. Maybe you go in there and they go, oh, why are we pulling this tooth? Yeah. It's perfectly fine.
Yeah, yeah. I'm doing a lot of stuff every day.
Good. Good job. Right. Who else? Judy, you have anything?
Not really. I'm doing all right.
You doing all right? Being back in there? You getting back on your smoothies and good food?
Better. Not perfect, but better.
Okay.
Other than that, just spending time here trying to get my house back in order.
Mm-hmm.
Which is a daunting task.
Of course, right? And you just moved across town for a couple of months.
Yeah, and they moved everything out and moved it back in, and of course didn't put it back where it came from exactly.
Yeah.
You know, it's in the right room, but the wrong place, you know. So I'm trying to find everything and figure out where everything is and put it where I want it. So, and then I just get overwhelmingly tired, and it's like, no, I think I'll have a nap instead of doing that.
Well, you know, meter it out, right? You don't have to do it all in one day. Get the kitchen stuff unpacked. Make sure you have knives and cutting boards and a blender, right? And
yeah, they didn't pack the kitchen. They put, they took all the stuff off the counters, and took the dining room table out of there, but they didn't pack all the pans in the pantry and all of that. They just put plastic sheeting over everything so none of the dust would get in there.
Oh, I'm sure the dust did get in there, and you're still gonna have to go through and wash it.
I'm sure it did, but you know, when I pull a pan out to use it, I'll wash it, kind of thing.
Yeah.
But at least I didn't have to do that too on top of everything else, you know.
Right. And just go back to where you were doing the tiny habit thing, right? Okay, every morning I'm just going to take my smoothie ingredients out and put them on the counter. that, and you're accomplished for the day. If you end up putting them back in later, you still can check it off that you did it. And like you found, right, you did it. You're like, I don't want to put this back. I just took it out. Might as well make a smoothie with it. Right. It's like psyching out the brain into just doing those little things.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good. Okay. Who else? Anything? Anybody? Anybody have anything to add?
One more thought on the thimerosal. I don't know what the issue is with that, but you know, that was a key ingredient in contact lens solution.
Yes.
Back in the 70s, I was doing the contact lens thing.
Yep. I did for a while too. It's mercury. And so, and the eyes are a direct portal into the bloodstream and into, you know, the sinuses. And so, you know, not a good thing. And they were using it as a preservative. It's a preservative in contact lens solution. It was a preservative in the vaccines as well. But it's mercury. Yeah. Mercury is a neurotoxin, among other things. So,
well, I did that for quite a few years till I went off to college and couldn't abide the contact lenses anymore.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't know if it was moving from country to city or the wind whipping between the buildings or whatever, but I gave up on contacts at that point.
Well, if you still, you know, if you still have toxins in your system from this stuff, if you still have mercury builds up in your system, you can usually pull it out. There's homeopathics that you can use. There's things like citrus pectin that you can use. There's things that you can use to just, you know, there's liver support that you help your liver to handle it. So there's a lot of that. And a lot of those toxins get stored in fat because the body wants to protect the brain and the heart. So it stores in fat tissue. So it's really important as you start to lose weight that you're making sure that you're supporting your detox pathways, keeping your gut moving and having, you know, a couple of bowel movements every day and supporting your liver so that it can, you know, shuttle these things out.
Well, there's one bit of progress. I'm down 6 or 7 pounds since I've, the last couple of weeks since I've been back in the house here.
That's Yay. Congratulations.
Yay.
Yes, that's awesome. Yay.
Lynn popped in for that one.
Yeah, that's wonderful. All right. Who's A.S.? A.S. Who's A.S.?
Anya.
Oh, Anya. Hi, Anya. How are you doing? Oops. Are you still at work? She might still be at the office.
No, I got home. Sorry. Can you hear me now?
Okay. Yeah, now I can hear you.
Okay. Yeah, no, I got home. I just got my food ready and I'm getting out here to eat. It was a long day.
It was a long day.
Yeah.
Yeah. Are you finding that, you know, you've got as busy or busier a workload since COVID?
I think I've gotten busier, but I can only work 3 days a week because Erica wants to work 3 days a week and she wants us to be separated. So,
okay.
But those You're 3 days.
But then that gives you more time off. So that's a good thing.
Yeah. So it's kind of nice actually.
Awesome. Awesome. Anya's a chiropractor. So the hands, you were closed for a while, right? When they.
No.
No. Oh, essential services. Yeah.
Yep.
Good.
Yeah.
Good. And more people are looking for like, help me.
Right. Well, and I think that, you know, when people are stressed out, their adrenals are really bad and then it causes more pain. So
exactly. Anyway. Exactly. So, right. Well, good.
I've given them a lot of adrenal supplements. So.
Good.
It does make a difference.
It does make a huge difference in healing and ligamentous laxity.
Yeah.
Adrenal burnout causes ligamentous laxity and then their adjustments won't hold.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So. Well, good. I'm glad to see people are still active doing that. And you live in a hippie community anyway. So
a hippie community.
Yeah, I always think of Santa Cruz as a hippie community. I mean, it's not just, but you know, there's a lot of hippies.
But there's a lot. I mean, we're a lot stricter than a lot of other places around California or, you know, around the United States. So.
Really? Oh,
yeah. I mean,
wow. I'm surprised.
Things are really strict around here.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, I know some people were getting into fights over not wearing masks into the health food store.
Oh yeah. Yes. Well, and one of the employees at one of our local health food stores, they said that they tested positive for COVID, so they closed down.
Oh, wow.
So hopefully they're open.
Hopefully they get open again.
Yeah, yeah. Because that's where I get my organic artichokes from.
Oh, gosh.
And purple potatoes.
Purple potatoes?
Yeah.
They're purple inside, too. Somebody was making a potato yogurt. Have you tried that? Steph has a recipe that she's been teaching lots of people for making yogurt from potatoes. And I get Scott's into making all this sauerkraut and kimchi. I'm going to get him to try to make this purple potato yogurt. And somebody on the Unstoppable Facebook group posted that she was making this. She goes, wow, they're purple inside too. They're so pretty.
Well, and they're supposed to be more nutritious. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. So yeah. I mean, there's fun stuff. I don't know how to do it. It's probably you just blend them. You have to cook them. Then you freeze them or put them in the fridge overnight to create the resistant starch. And then you blend them up and you add the probiotic stuff to it. So it's probably, I mean, if I guessed, that's how I would do it. I would just take them and then mash them up in the blender and then add the probiotics.
Coconut oil to make it smoother.
Yeah. Or young coconut. Yeah. Yeah.
That would ruin it.
You don't like that. So something else. Something else that's creamy.
You could probably use a nut or seed milk. Or yeah. Coconut milk. You just need like something.
Well, she doesn't like coconut. She thinks coconut foul.
Okay. So yeah, like you could just puree it until it's like a good pudding texture.
Yeah, you can put in a handful of macadamia nuts or sunflower seeds or
something, yeah.
Something like what?
Or some cashews.
Or cashews, yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yogurt's so good.
Yeah. And I think it's not as smooth if you don't have something fatty in it a little bit anyway. Yeah.
I just feel like,
MCT, we talked about that once about MCT being an alternative to the coconut.
Yeah. And Lynn was trying to talk me into it, to taste it, to see that she doesn't I'm hesitant because coconut, I can taste in anything. So it's like,
MCT is totally tasteless.
That's okay. It's
completely tasteless. So I don't add it to something for taste. I mean, it's like, no, there's no taste to it.
Her favorite nuts are pistachios.
I can't eat them.
Oh, and you can't eat
them. They're on her avoid list.
Bummer. Well, but you can even do it with hemp seeds or hemp seed oil. Hemp seed oil gets a little bitter. So you got to be careful with the bitterness, but you could probably do it with hemp and get some good omega-3s.
Yeah, yeah.
I haven't played with this yet. I'm just making it up, so... But usually I can make up recipes in my head and then do them and it's fine. I'm just, you know, I somehow have this ability to kind of taste with my brain, so to speak. Yeah. Almost like, oh, I know how to put that together. That would be awesome.
So, and I have a question for you, just because you brought it up there. Hemp seeds, I was supposed to not have hemp seeds, but why? I forget.
I didn't tell you that.
No,
it's on her biome test.
Oh,
is it on my biome test?
I think so. Oh no, it wasn't that. It was her blood spot fatty acid test, but that wasn't.
Blood spot fatty acid would never indicate no hemp seeds.
No, it wasn't that. It was the GLA. It was the borage oil.
But GLA. It was low or high?
It was too high.
It was too high. Then you want to move it down. You want to move it downstream. So probably B6 and the B vitamins and things to move it down.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. And we already.
And there's not a whole lot of downsides to slightly higher GLA, but there is a downside to higher AA, arachidonic acid, or the alpha, you know, the short chain. But yeah, there's not that much GLA in hemp seeds that it would like be drinking borage oil. Yeah, right. But hemp seeds, I think, would be fine.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah, because they have more omega, they have a lot of omega-3. So they keep the balance. Yeah.
Okay.
Cool. And you have more calls coming up. You didn't take all your calls with me this year. I know you have more coming up next year, but I think you have a couple more. I'll look at my chart. I think you have a couple more.
Okay. Yeah. Well, thank you. Yes.
Because you had extras. You had some of the bonus ones, like the Dutch test one. I think we did the Dutch test one. I think we did like 4 or 5, and you have like 2 or 3 more.
Okay.
I don't know exactly the number, but I'll let you know. And you can just roll them into next year as well.
Okay.
You should get on a roll of just, you know, meeting once a month or once every 6 weeks or something. So we
can consistent. Yeah.
Okay.
Well, she was doing a lot of traveling for a while there. So
that's true.
Now she doesn't do that anymore.
I know. I'm pretty much stuck here. I'm gonna try and be better next year.
All right. Yeah, we'll keep it consistent. That'll be good. That'll be good. Yay.
I'm signing off, guys. Bye.
All right, Jay. Good to see you. Keep right, that hair and beard going and go get the electrolytes tested, please.
Okay.
All right. And let us know. Just post them right away and post a message.
All okay? right.
Keep your spirits up.
Yes.
Bye.
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 And Anya, your hemp seeds are on your enjoy list, so you can use hemp seeds.
Oh, okay, good. Good, good.
Yay.
Because I like them.
Yeah, they're good, and they're good for you. So, yeah, I've written hemp in a lot of things. Anything else before we call it a night? Are we all good? Mahala didn't come. She sent an RSVP. She was one of the few that sent an RSVP, said she was coming, but... Yes, she didn't make it. So we'll reach out. Who's on Mahala's? Who does Mahala teamed up with? Is it Isabel? Oh, I don't remember who her co-coach is. Anyway, we'll reach out to Mahala and ask her if she has any thoughts on, did Diana go? Yeah, on Diana's stuff. All right, guys. Well, have a wonderful evening, and we'll talk to you all very soon.
Good night.
Good night.
Bye. Thank you.